Good morning. The time is 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. This is Robert Woolsey stepping in for Peter Apathy this morning, who had to go off to his real job. So I'm coming into my real job to talk about the Sitka Public Library with Library Director Rob Farmer. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob. Always happy to be here.
Great to see you. I guess the there's a lot going on at the library, but I think that you're actually sort of in the news lately, because the hammer is finally dropped, and we are, as a cost-saving measure, the city of Sitka is going to be closing the library one day a week.
One day a week. Starting July 10th, the library will be closed on Sunday as part of the omnibus budget reductions in the service imprint of the city that was recently passed.
Okay. How did you come across, decide on Sunday, and how do you think patrons will be affected?
We decided on Sunday for several reasons. It was not an easy decision. It's almost like picking which finger you want to cut off. There's no good choice. The reason we chose Sunday, it was the day we were open the least amount of hours, for 5 hours as opposed to 10 to the public. There were only three people who work on Sunday on a regular basis, so it had a lesser effect on staffing. There's no mail service on Sunday as opposed to the other 6 days, and we are affiliated with the Joint Library Consortium for Alaska. We have lots of incoming mail and outgoing mail for that. Plus on weekdays, which we also looked at closing on Mondays, we help serve the school libraries during the school year. And also, since we do business with lots of other companies, not only in Alaska but also in the lower 48, closing on Sunday lessen the effect it would have on that. But it was a tough choice. We know that Sunday is a very high traffic day. Lots of our adult programming happened on Sunday. Lots of people came in using our stuff for research or for schoolwork. We have people who work during the week and can't get there during the week on the weekend during the weekdays come in, and we knew that was going to be a problem. Looking at all the other options, it was just the best one that we could come up with.
And is there an actual cost savings? Is there a known number of what the closure will save?
The closure is going to be, it's going to be an estimate. We know that being closed for a day will reduce costs in some amount. Some of it we won't know exactly how much till the end of next year based on, but it'll be an amalgam of savings based on temporary wages, on reduction in supply cost, reduction in data usage and bandwidth, a reduction in our maintenance and custodial contracts. So we don't know an exact number, but in addition to the $19,000 we reduced in other library budget lines, we're thinking somewhere probably between 30 and 40.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. It's just, I know a lot of folks and yourselves too. I know you're at the library. You're not happy at all about this. It's not like, yay, we've got a day off.
No, it's not really a day off. We didn't lose any staffing for it. The three people who did work on Sunday, we moved their hours to different days of the week, which helped in covering shifts that might not have been covered during people's vacation and leave time. Which, because our temporary wage budget was substantially reduced from 19,000 to four. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's one of the harder line numbers we can see the savings for this.
Well, I guess it'll just be interesting to see how it goes. And again, it's a necessity that I guess City Hall is looking at across all departments. But you think of the library, especially in the wintertime, as kind of this oasis, this pool of light and warmth and welcoming, and it's hard to imagine it being dark.
It is, and I try to remain optimistic. It's hard financial times all across the city and the state and the nation, and all the three factors affect libraries. But if the revenue increases for the city by tax increase or by bulk water sales or whatever, I am optimistic that we can bring these hours back. In fact, the Library Commission, when I announced this closure to them back at the June meeting, they passed a resolution that they weren't happy with the closing of the library on a day, and that they would want to see if the financial status has changed, that we add those hours back.
All right. Rob, let's talk about some of the things some of the sunnier things happening at the library. The new building is open, and every time I go by there or every time I look at it, especially now, it is just, there is a lot of people. There are a lot of people moving in and out of the building.
We have a lot of high traffic, and you know, we can just, I can't compare it to the old version of the library because I wasn't here yet. But it is substantially higher than it was at the Stratton, mm-hmm. and it is always active in several different fashions. Because of the construction at Centennial, we are fulfilling a lot of their role, so we're seeing much cruise ship traffic, and we're getting rave reviews from passengers who have either come and seen the older libraries or just haven't seen us at all, and complimenting us on a fantastic library we have and how friendly our staff are. We have the summer reading program is in full swing. So we have lots of kids there who are out of school, either working on doing programs or just reading, and that's very, very encouraging. In fact, this week we actually have a program being led by a high school student where she is teaching younger students how to program computers. It's always just very just inspiring to see how much youth and energy that we have going on there.
Yeah, and the new library actually has classroom space.
We do, for this. And we would like to start having more classes. We've been having classes for kind of an adult education basic computing class. Greg Mandel has taught that several different times, but we want to start having more. We have a computer lab that will have a training monitor, so screen, so we can have that. And we have other rooms where we can start having classes as well. We have great Wi-Fi. We can use computers to help teach some of the more digital content that we have, some better usages of technology like Google training. There's a lot of different things we want to start offering in that vein.
And the space is working well. I guess you've been hit hard a couple of Sitka Summer Music Festival movie nights, but otherwise the space is working.
The space is working. We're learning how best to use it. It's a learning process, but we have had lots of use of our space. We, for our meeting rooms and our programming, we have a lot of different local organizations have contacted us for either using it or partnering. Just in this past month, we've, had a 4-week series of music movies with the music festival. We've had a couple different programs with Braveheart with their Death and Dying series on tomorrow night. The Pass Across the Pacific is going to be showing a documentary called 1421, How China Discovered America. It's always active, which is the way I wanted to see it.
And what about the people who get together and listen to vinyl records?
Club 33 and a Third, our vinyl revival club. We've had two meetings so far. That was kind of my brainchild. The first album we did was Revolver by the Beatles.
Of course.
And then last week's, which I wasn't able to attend, was Artie Shaw and his orchestra, one of his albums. And then our next one is supposed to be a Peter, Paul, and Mary album. And that meeting hasn't been scheduled yet, but we'll start promoting it. With that, we just get together and we sit and listen to music and talk about the artists or the style of the music. That came about because we have albums and we have cassettes in our local history, but we didn't have any way to record them, so in case they fail. So I bought a machine that will digitize this content, so for archival purposes. But I thought, since we already have it, why don't we use it for something else?
Sure.
And it's been fun. And I have a thought where I want to have a singles cruise. So our 33 and a third club will turn 45, and we'll just spin 45 singles.
It just sort of lends itself to that. I remember telling my kids that people used to sit around and listen to records as kind of an activity. You'd go hang out at your friend's house, and he'd have the latest, Pink Floyd or whatever.
I remember that well. Yeah. And I lost a friend who passed away last month, and one of the memories I have was sitting around listening to REO Speedwagon, High Infidelity, and Foreigner 4 when they came out, and then the Oak Ridge Boys Elvira album, because his mom was a big Oak Ridge Boys fan.
There you go. There you go. Well, it's something that the earbud generation needs to experience. So I'm glad you're bringing it back. One other thing, Rob, before we go, I was camping last weekend on Cruise Off, and I'm a digital library user. I download audiobooks. I borrow books online from the library. And the person that I was with was just amazed that we were listening to a book from the library. I guess your digital services are really getting a toehold. I'm not the only one, right?
You're not the only one, but we want more. Yeah. We have great digital content, e-books, audiobooks, through the Listen Alaska program. We are looking at other digital services that might add downloadable films, kind of like a Netflix kind of service that's set up for libraries, graphic novels. We have always had databases with journal content and news content that people can use for research purposes. And especially now, if we're going to be closed for a while, you can still access these things 24/7. And but you need a library card and a PIN number, which will be assigned. And we can, if you don't have a library card, come get one. They're free. Right. And we'll show you how these things work. And you're getting the most out of your library.
Yeah, I think the system is really efficient. And I guess before we went on air, you said that you're also going to have comics available?
Well, that's the graphic novel content. Okay. Yeah, that's not planned. We're looking at that. I'm looking at different downloadable content for comics because graphic novels and graphic literature are huge. Mm-hmm. Comics and then other graphic content. We have people who come in specifically looking for that content, and it's been a collection development point for both adult services and youth services. And it's not just kids. It's, Coast Guard, people coming through. It's, people my age who never stopped reading comics and it's for people with different learning styles.
Yeah. So, or they got hooked into some graphic novel and just want more.
Or they watched the movie and now they want to see where it came from.
Yeah, right. Yeah, The Walking Dead on television.
We have three of compendiums for The Walking Dead.
Yeah, so that's a graphic novel that the TV show is based on. Rob, one last thing before we go. We are out of time, but people still come in and just look out the window at the library, right?
They do, and sometimes they'll just stay there and sit. And we have comfortable seating in front of the window because that's our showpiece.
All right. I'm glad things are going well. If people want to discuss the Sunday closure with you or anything we've been talking about today, you've got sort of an open door policy.
I have an open door policy. If they can give me a call at 747-4021. They can email me at robb.farmer@cityofsitka.org. Or if they can stop by and ask for me, and if I'm there, I'll talk to them.
All right. Rob Farmer is the director of the Sitka Public Library. Thanks very much for coming in, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.